Open your Bibles to the book of Malachi. Go to Matthew and turn left a couple of pages. Malachi chapter 1, beginning at verse 6. A son honoreth his father, and a servant his master. If then I be a father, where is mine honor? And if I be a master, where is my fear? Saith the Lord of hosts unto you, O priest, that despise my name. And you say, wherein have we despised thy name? Ye offer polluted bread upon mine altar, and you say, wherein have we polluted thee? In that ye say, the table of the Lord is contemptible. And if ye offer the blind for sacrifice, is it not evil? And if ye offer the lame and sick, is it not evil? Offer it now to thy governor. Will he be pleased with thee, or accept thy person, saith the Lord of hosts? And now I pray you, beseech God that he will be gracious unto us. This hath been by your means. Will he regard your persons, saith the Lord of hosts? Who is there even among you that would shut the doors for naught? Neither do you kindle a fire on mine altar for naught. I have no pleasure in you, saith the Lord of hosts, neither will I accept an offering at your hand. For from the rising of the sun, even unto the going down of the same, my name shall be great among the Gentiles. And in every place incense shall be offered unto my name, and a pure offering. For my name shall be great among the heathen, saith the Lord of hosts. But ye have profaned it, in that ye say, the table of the Lord is polluted, and the fruit thereof, even his meat, is contemptible. He said also, behold, what a weariness is it, and ye have snuffed at it, saith the Lord of hosts. And ye have brought that which was torn, and the lame, and the sick. Thus ye brought an offering. Should I accept this of your hand, saith the Lord. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you today for a beautiful day. We thank you, Lord, for freedom and life, opportunity and blessing. Lord, you have richly blessed us. We thank you most of all for salvation in Jesus Christ. And we pray that if anyone is listening to my voice that is not saved, that they will come to know you as Savior and Lord. But I pray for every child of God that's here or that hears this message. I ask you, Lord, that you will touch our hearts that we might serve you acceptably. Now give me a freedom and ease to preach that only you can give. And may your Holy Spirit suit a blessing to every heart. I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Most of us here today are pretty religious. In fact, a lot of the world would call us fanatics because we go to church Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. Some of us pass out tracts. Some of us preach. Some of us actually give money to the work of the Lord. So we would be called by the world fanatics. I mean, they stand on street corners and preach to people. They go out and knock on. They actually mail letters out to people they don't even know. I mean, you know, they pass out tracts to people. We put out thousands of, I guess, hundreds of thousands of tracts have gone out of this church that we bought and put out. Evangelizing, you're fanatics. Even some of you that would be sort of mild in the congregation compared to some of the others, you're still a fanatic as far as the world is concerned. Amen. He's talking to religious people, his priests. You know what the priests did? They offered the sacrifices for the people to God. Now, if you're born again here today, you are a priest of the living God. A prophet goes with a message from God and presents it to the people. A priest goes with a sacrifice of the people and presents it to God. Now, you and I in our church, in our Christianity, in our being indwelt by the Spirit of God, have the action of priests. We go to God. We go to God. We bring offerings and sacrifices. So maybe we might find a little something in this passage here. It says, in the last part of verse 6, the people say, wherein have we despised thy name? God says, you have despised my name. You priest that despise my name. How in the world these priests that are offering sacrifices every day in the temple are despising his name. He said, you offer polluted bread. You ever thought about your sacrifice? He said, you offer polluted bread. And notice, and the thing that struck me as I read this last week was, ye say. I'm going to talk to you this morning a few things that the people say. God's accusation of what his people say. He said, ye say, the table of the Lord is contemptible. Then he says on, said, if you offer the blind for sacrifice, is it not evil? How about the lame or the sick? Why don't you take that and present it to the governor and see if it will get you any benefits? That's what he's telling the people. What have you been offering me? Well, it's time to make a sacrifice to the Lord. Pick that lame lamb out. Get the weakest one. Get the one that's crippled. We got this lamb that's blind. Nobody will know it. That's good enough for a sacrifice. Take that down to the temple. Now, let me ask you a question. Do you know anything about the Jewish law? You have any idea what kind of lamb that was supposed to be that was offered for atonement? Perfect. No blemish. A male of the first year, not an old one ready to die. A male of the first year, a stud, supposed to be offered unto God without a blemish. The very best lamb you had is what God ought to get. Amen. He said, but what are you offering me? Blind, lame, sick. Take it now and go give it to the governor. Now, President Bush is a very good money raiser. He's already, last election, he raised more money I think anybody ever had in history. He's already in the hundreds of millions of dollars in his coffers. Why do you think people pay that much money to sit at a place, at a dinner with the president? It's all out of charity? You've got to be kidding. If it cost $1 million or $2 million to win the election of mayor of San Antonio and you get $40 a session, what makes it worthwhile to spend $1 million to become mayor of San Antonio? You ever thought about that? Power. Influence. If somebody gives me $100 million to get me elected, and then he wants something 2 or 3 years down the line that's all right with me, why, what problem is that? He said, take that lamb to your governor. Oh, that lamb you brought down here and offered for sacrifice. That lamb you accepted as the atonement for your sins. That sacrifice, that offering that you give, take it to the governor and see how much influence it gets you. The governor say, that thing isn't going to be in my lot. That's blind. I've got a joke about that mule that don't look too good. The guy brought it back to him and said, that mule's blind. Said, I told you he don't look too good. That's just the catch of the joke. I didn't tell you the whole thing, but you get the point. You know these guys, these guys that sell animals, buy and sell, the guys that take them out here to the stock show. Verlene and I really enjoy going to the stock show. We'll spend a day out there, but we don't even maybe go to the rodeo or the carnival thing. We go out there where all those animals are. These animals have been petted more than kids. More money spent on them than on their kids. These are beautiful animals. I mean, they are picked because they're the top of the line. And I mean, if you want to see a pig, you see the best pig there. If you want to see a cow, the best cow there. If you want to see a horse, the best horse there. They pay thousands of dollars for this young one. And then they curry comb it and they take it to the beauty shop and they shine it up and they feed it better than they feed their family. Now, they will spend thousands of dollars, one of them, into one of these guys that trades in horses, mules, cows, pigs. You'll say, "Oh, that's a nice one. Oh, that's the best one. Oh, that's a beautiful one. I'd like to have that one." But you bring your old blind, lame sacrifice out there and say, "Oh, Mr. Governor, Mr. Perry, would you like to have this one in your lot?" He said, "Don't bring that thing on my place." I know of a man in my neighborhood. He has a bull. Not a very expensive bull. But that bull jumped the fence and impregnated one of those very expensive cows. I mean, we're talking lawsuit. We're talking about having to get the vet and have that cow cleansed from that sorry bull. At thousands of dollars because of the value of the animals. Now, God said, "You're going to make an atonement for your sins. And the kind of sacrifice I want you to bring to me is a lamb of the first year without blemish. I want the best to be offered unto thee. Amen. And I'm not going to take anything less."
Amen.
And these priests look away a little bit. "Well, that's a good sacrifice. Oh yeah, we'll take that one. Oh, that's good. Well, thank you." And he said, "You despise my name." That's God's accusation. "You despise my name." What kind of sacrifices do you offer? You're a priest. What are your sacrifices like this year? Oh, we're coming down to the end of 2003. What have you given to the Lord?
Amen.
And what was it like? I'm an old preacher. I've been preaching 46 years. When I started, I preached in a lot of little country churches, pastored some country churches. They had a custom. They'd pound the preacher. Most of you probably never heard of it. A few of you older people do know it. They would pound the preacher. And by that, it means that maybe on a certain Sunday each month, or each quarter or something, the people of the congregation would bring a lot of food up and give it to the pastor. That was called pounding the preacher. Well, I'm a pastor. I receive that. And some people gave me their best. But some people gave me stuff they would not eat themselves. Oh, I'm telling you. It got to be a joke for me. Because, see, I'm sarcastic. I can't help it. I just born this way. And I got to thinking, they wouldn't eat this stuff. Now, I don't like the idea when I see a church saying we got a rummage sale for God. We're raising money for the church with our throwaways. If you're going to give God something, give Him your best, not your throwaways. Hey, it's good for you to take your throwaways and take them down to Goodwill. Or have your garage sale and let somebody who loves junk buy your junk. You understand? It's not treasure. Even though treasure is in the eye of the beholder. You are a priest of the living God. Do you give God your blind and lame and diseased and ready to die and ready to throw away? Have you ever heard what a tithe is? It's first fruits.
That's right.
It's not leftovers.
Amen.
In the Old Testament, they were commanded to tithe under the law. They got so much grain, so many animals, so much whatever, and their tithe was to belong to God. It was the first fruits. Now, most of my life, I was poor, had five kids, So you worried about eating. You didn't worry about buying insurance. You didn't worry about other things like that, you know. I remember carrying 3 spares in my trunk because I didn't have enough money to have one good one. And those skins I was driving out on the road are going to go down, and I might have 3 flats. Some of you have been there. If I would have waited till I paid all my bills and fed my kids and took care of all the needs and then given God something, I wouldn't have had anything to give. I always had more month than money. But when you give it at the first, when you first get it, you give the first fruits, then God gets what He's supposed to get. What are you giving God? Your leftovers? He says, you despise my name. You despise my name. And one of the ways they were despising his name was the sacrifices they were offering. God said, go offer it to the governor. See if that'll get you any influence. Go offer it to the governor. See if that'll get you a job. Go offer it to the governor. See if that'll get you whatever legislation you're trying to get passed or whatever court case you're trying to win or whatever piece of land you think you want to buy. Go offer it to the governor now. You're talking to God. You're offering to God. Have you thought about what God thinks about your offerings? Years ago, I decided a tithe wasn't good enough for me or my family, as poor as we were. I decided if a Jew under law would give 10% of his income, I as a Christian under grace ought to give 20% of my income. And some of you don't even give a tithe. You ought to be ashamed. You ought to be. Do you really think God put you in this rich country and you brought yourself up by your own bootstraps? And you made this great wealth that we have, and all of this stuff is because you worked so hard and you've been so faithful, and you're resting on the back of a lot of other people. Your Christianity and the blessings you have and the freedom of this country and the wealth of this country rest on the backs of thousands upon thousands of people that died in war, that worked hard through depressions and other things like that, and built this country under God. And then it rests on the grace of God. The grace of God. You really think God gave you all this money so you could drive a new car and have a new shirt and live in an air-conditioned house? Really? And you don't think you have any obligation to God in your offerings? How much do you love God? He's judging the way they love God right here. I tell you what, some of you really are deformed. Where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Your heart's in the wrong place. You're just an old stingy gut, just face it. You know, we used to have kids that come out and they'd have a candy bar and they'd just eat it all by themselves and wouldn't give anybody else anything. We'd say, stingy gut, stingy gut. I had a fellow leave the church one time because I called them stingy guts. Anybody want to leave? Bless your heart. I said, what did I say before I said stingy gut? He said, I don't know. What did I say after I said stingy gut? I don't know. Then if I hadn't said stingy gut, you wouldn't got anything out of the sermon. You despise my name. How? You say the table of the Lord is contemptible. By your actions, you're saying that my sacrifice and my offering is beneath you. It is not worth your time. It is not worth your money. Some of you are going to spend more on Christmas presents than you're going to give to God in the whole year. Look ashamed. You ought to be. Notice something else. He said in verse 10, who is there among you that would shut the doors for naught? Neither do you kindle the fire on my altar for naught. I have no pleasure in you. What about your purpose in serving God? Do you just serve God for what you're going to get out of it? Do you just serve God because you're paid to serve God? Preachers especially have to really be careful about their attitude. their attitude towards money, their attitude towards other people, their attitude towards work. Why do you serve God? Do you serve God? I've had people, and we were building this building, and some people come up here and work, and other people say, "What are you doing up there working up there? You get nothing out of that." Putting a stumbling block in the way of somebody who's actually working for God for nothing, but because they just wanted to do it, and they say, "What are you doing spending your Saturdays up there? What are you doing spending your afternoons up there? How come you over there working up? You're not getting anything out of that. Don't work for anything, don't make you any money." Isn't that what he's talking about? Isn't he saying that? He's saying you would not even put the fire on the altar if it didn't pay you. You wouldn't open the doors of the church building. You wouldn't close them up unless I paid you. What kind of a spirit do you have today, and how does God look at the way you look? See, what we have here is God is rebuking his priesthood. But as I looked at this passage, I said, "Oh Lord, good night." How does that mean God looks at our attitude? What's your attitude? Why do you do what you do for God? There's another thing. What is verse 11? He says, "From the rising of the sun even to the going down of the same, my name shall be great among the Gentiles." He repeats it. "And in every place incense shall be offered unto my name, and a pure offering. For my name shall be great among the heathen, saith the Lord of hosts." You have despised my name by the way you treat it. You have despised my name by the kind of offerings you give me. You have despised my name because you will not serve me unless you're paid to serve me. And yet my name shall be great among the Gentiles. My name shall be great among the heathen. Do the people that know you think of you as a half-hearted Christian? Or does the world actually really consider you a fanatic? Look at verse 12. "But ye have profaned it." My name's going to be great among the Gentiles, it's going to be great among the heathen, but ye have profaned it. How have we profaned it? "In that ye say, the table of the Lord is polluted, and the fruit thereof, even the meat, is contemptible. You said also, what a weariness is it?" And you snuffed at it. Every once in a while, you will sit in on a message that doesn't really just touch you. Maybe you'll have your mind occupied by a lot of other things, and you're sort of in a hurry to leave. Maybe you've got real big plans this afternoon, and you decide, "Man, when's this going to be over?" Isn't this something? What a weariness is it? Ever get weary? You get weary preaching? You sit down and you're reading your Bible. You just stay there for hours, can't you? Can't you? No. About 5 minutes down the line, you think, "I got to do something else. I got to get away from this Bible. I got to." How about praying? You really pray a long time, don't you? You got so many things to pray about. There's plenty of needs in the world to pray about, right? So you don't have any problem praying a long time, right? Put a stopwatch on you. Take your list. Write out 3 pages. Pray on everything you got there. Don't look at the clock till you get through. Amen. What a weariness is it? Could it possibly be? Here these priests are saying, "Oh, I am so sick of serving God. I'm so sick of offering these sacrifices. I'm sick of dealing with the table. I'm sick of the offerings. I'm sick of the people. I'm sick of this." And God said, "Look at you. You turn your nose up at my sacrifice. You turn your nose up at my work. You despise my name. You drag my name down in the dirt. And you say, what a weariness it is to serve God. Hoo-hoo. And I thought about that, of some of the things I hear people say. How long the services get. How hard is our sacrifice. How much cost it costs us to do what we do. How weary we get. Boy, God says, you despise my name. You despise my name. And I thought, if God listened to that bunch of backslidden priests, you think he listens to his born-again church? Attitude is life, friend. Amen. Attitude is life. What you are down in your heart, the way you feel towards God, towards his word, that's life. You as a born-again child of God, given more grace than any other generation, given more wealth, more freedom, more riches than any people that have ever lived. And yet, when it comes to the things of God, I have heard these attitudes come out of people for 46 years. Too much to give to God. Cost too much. Too much time. Oh, goodness, we don't spend that much time. I'm so tired of knocking on doors. I'm so tired of witnesses. So tired of passing out tracts. So tired of people not listening to me. You ever thought God might get tired of your weariness? You ever thought that God might think you are despising his name by the very attitude you have? That's a shame. That's a shame. May God Almighty wake us up to what we have in Christ Jesus. My friend, you have a higher position than any priest here ever had. John the Baptist was the greatest prophet ever born of woman, but the least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than John the Baptist. Your privilege and my privilege as a born-again child of God, indwelt by the Holy Spirit, with a full Bible in my hand to read every day, in a country where there's freedom and there's wealth and there's all sorts of interesting things and things are changing and moving all the time. And you sit there like a bored rich kid. Don't have anything to do. I'm bored to death. Entertain me. And God looks down on you like you look down on some spoiled little brat. And he says, how much can I give you? How much do you have? And yet you don't appreciate what I've done for you. You don't even have a clue how I've blessed you. How I've brought into your hands things that no other people ever had. And opportunities no one else has ever had. You're there. Our attitude ought to be one of thankfulness every day. Amen. Our praise ought to be coming out of our mouth. Amen. We ought to be willing to give anything for God, do anything for God, go anywhere for God. Amen. And God ought to get our best. God ought to get our best. He shouldn't get your leftovers. Right.
Amen.
Not even in your time.
That's right.
Amen. You ought to be good at giving. Now, we have some wonderful people in this church that are good at giving, but some of you don't have a clue. But you know what you're doing? You're investing in God's great stock market in eternity. Amen. You might ought to learn to give. You know why? You say, why is money so important? It's not important to God. God's got plenty of money. He's got the cattle on 1,000 hills. All the silver and gold is his. He can do anything he wants to tomorrow. It's your attitude. You see, the love of money is the root of all evil. And we love money. And we want it all for ourselves. And when we've got it all, we want more. Somebody asked Rockefeller one time, said, how much is enough? He said, more. Multiplied millionaire, one of the richest men ever live in the world. How much more do you need? More? That's the way you are, only on a smaller scale. We don't have any Rockefellers in here. We don't have any rich men in here. But on a smaller scale, I've got this new job, I've got this new house, I've got this new car. Well, I better buy another car and another house and another this and a vacation here and more. What about God? How does God feel at your attitude? I've been a pastor for years, teacher for years, a father. There are times I've given to a child something that cost me to get for them, and they snuffed at it. I don't want that. I don't like that. I just want to slap them. You know, I didn't. Just want to let you know I didn't. But I want to. God looks down upon a church so blessed, so rich, so saved forever by His Holy Spirit. He's given His own Son. He died in our place that we might live. He died for our sins so we could be forgiven. He took our filth so that we should be clean. And we think, oh, it's too much trouble to do this for God. I really need this money more than God needs it, or those missionaries need it, or those preachers need it, or that church needs it. I haven't got enough things for myself, and by the way, I'm laying up for my retirement, you know. He may never get to retire. That big 50 may hit you one of these days. I lost a lot of friends at 50. I'm glad I'm past 50. Got a better chance of living past 50. I'm teasing. Does God look down at us and say, you despise my name by your offerings and by your attitude? Does God look at you in the attitude of your heart, in the words that come out of your mouth? You know, the Bible says by your words you're going to be justified and by your words you're going to be condemned. The Bible says every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give account thereof in the day of judgment. And God is talking to these priests right here. Your words. You say. You said. What a weariness is it to serve God. If you're hearing lost, God's listening to your words too. God's paying attention to everything. Things your parents don't know, He knows. Things the law doesn't know, He knows. Things around you don't know, He knows. God knows it all. And my friend, I want you to know, if you're here without Jesus Christ, God died upon the cross that you might be saved. There He shed His blood and paid your debt. And if you'll repent of your sins and call upon Him, He'll save your soul and change your life. We're going to give an invitation. Sing 249. Let's stand and sing it. If God's spoken to your heart in anything, in any area, why, this altar's open. If you're here without Christ and the Spirit of God has spoken to your heart, you want to be saved, come on down here. Take my hand. Let me know. I'll get somebody to pray with you. We'll pray with you. We'll answer your questions. We'll pray for you. Will you come?